great teaching sermon on the Sermon of the Mount. And we're going to read Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 down to verse 23. From page 812, if you've got another church Bible. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 23. And this again is Jesus speaking. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or for figs from thistles? So, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Let's pray together. As Ali said, we're going to be looking at that passage that we read together, Matthew 7, and especially we're going to be looking at verses 13 and 14. Let's pray together, first of all. Father, we turn to your word, and we thank you that it's the living and abiding word of God. We thank you, Lord, that in it you speak to us, in it you reveal your nature to us, in it you reveal the way of salvation to us. Lord, now as we turn to us, we would say, be our teacher. Spirit of God, our teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me, to each one of us this evening, and making them live to all our hearts, as you see that we need, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's very important to know what way you're going, isn't it? And that you're going in the right direction. A friend and I were in the mountains once, and we were walking down a ridge. It was a very, very clearly defined ridge, but it ran down, and then it kind of went up a little bit again, and it was very rocky. And then it carried on down. So it did sort of that. And we were walking down this ridge, chatting away. It was pretty clear which way we wanted to go. And we got in among these rocks. And we came out the other side and we carried on down the slope. And it was a foggy day. And we had been planning on going down to the left, just after these rocks. So we came and we came to the edge. It was quite a sharp ridge. We came and we looked down, and I think it was me who said, well, better, let's just check our compass bearing. So we got the compass out, the map out, and we discovered that we were
about to go down totally the wrong side. In among all these rocks, we had got confused and we had walked in a circle and come out the way we had gone in. And because the ridge sloped down both ways, well, this way went back up again, but we couldn't see that in the fog. We had actually come out the way we went in, and we didn't realize it. And had we gone down to the left, we would have gone into totally the wrong valley and would have been in a total muddle. And you might have been still looking for us today, 20 years later, or whatever that is. It's important to know what you go, where you're going, and that you're on the right path. Jesus here says, talks about two gates and two ways. A small gate and a narrow way, or as the ESV calls it, a hard way. Or a wide gate and an easy way. Two ways. Two gates and two roads. One of these gates is narrow and unpopular because not many people find it, he says. Gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So it's unpopular, not many people on it. The other one is wide and broad and easy and much travelled. Many enter in there. Those who enter it are many. But one leads to life, and one leads to destruction. The way to destruction is wide and heavily trod. The way to life is narrow, and only if you find it. Here we find Jesus teaching that there is a separation or a division in humanity. Some are on the wide road, some are on the narrow road. Each of us has to make sure, know which road we are on, or which road we will follow. Now, such teaching isn't very popular today. It never was popular, to be honest, but today people say, how can you claim that you have the truth? How can you say that Jesus is the only way to God? The only way to forgiveness, the only way to heaven, the only way to peace with God. What about Islam? What about the millions of Hindus? What about the atheists? And in our society today, about the only forbidden thing is to claim that you have the truth. You can believe anything. You can live any way you like, as long as you don't hurt someone. And no one will mind. But claim that there is one way and one truth and one Savior, and you're going to be ridiculed as an extremist. And yet Jesus, our Savior, spoke these words. This is his teaching. The gate is narrow and small, the road is narrow and hard that leads to life. The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Jesus is very clear here. And I want us to think about the significance of this teaching this evening. I want us to see that there is one gate, only one, and that we must enter it one at a time, one by one. And that we enter it as sinners, and that all are invited. All are invited. So firstly, there's only one gate, and we must pass by that gate. You know, Jesus didn't say, the gates are narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find them are few. He said, there's only one gate, only one gate. And that gate is narrow. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, the only way. The only way. John 10:7, Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So Jesus is the gate, Jesus is the door, and he's the only gate. He says, no one comes to the Father but by me. No other way, no other door. It's small. That implies that, that the way to life is not open to lots of choices. We can't pick and choose our way to God. There's only one gate. And it's already there. God has provided it. Jesus opened it. And we must follow in the way that God has provided. Again, there are those who say that religion is a bit like climbing a mountain. And you might start from here and you go up that way. Somebody else starts over the other side and they go up another way. And Christian climbs one way, the Muslim climbs another, the Hindu climbs another. And we all arrive at the top, so it doesn't really matter. Not so, says Jesus. The gate is narrow and well defined. And he is that gate. So you can see why the Christian message is often an offense to people. To point to Jesus and say, he's the Savior you need. Without him, there is no salvation. He is the gate and only gate that there is. And we have to live without offense. We have to not duck away from the truth of the Christian message so as not to offend. There's only one way, and Jesus is clear about that. So, the one door, a small door, a narrow door. But the gospel isn't narrow in the sense of laying down lots of rules and regulations and saying you mustn't do this and you mustn't do that or you must do this and you must do that. We must never reduce the gospel of the grace of God to a list of rules. It isn't a list of rules. It's a relationship with Jesus. But the gospel isn't broad either. In the sense that it doesn't matter what you do and what you believe, that anything goes. No, the gate is small, the way is narrow. And since there's only one way, it's very important that you're on that way, as no other way leads to life. Jesus himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the door of the sheep. Entrance through that door is by repentance and faith in Jesus, through being born again by the Spirit of God. That's how we enter through the gate and begin to walk the narrow and hard way that leads to life. But our eternal destiny, our eternal peace with God depends on entering on that way. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We need Jesus. He is the gate. He is the way. He is the only gate. He is the only way back to God. Secondly, the way to God, that gate, it's narrow and it's small. Right? And somebody has said that the gate, it's more like a turnstile than a gate. Because you go through it one at a time. When you go to a turnstile, you go through it one at a time. And so it is. So it is, we must enter eternal life. We must come to Jesus one by one. When Jesus met the Samaritan woman by the well and talked to her, you remember that conversation? And the woman, she was very happy to talk about who owns this well. You know, we think we own it. You claim you own it. Where should the temple be? You say it should be in Jerusalem. We say it should be here in Samaritan country. She was very happy to talk religion, but Jesus turned the conversation right round to her personal life. He made her face her own sin, and he brought her to the position where she faced it too, But she confessed it and changed. And that's what he does with us. He makes us face our sin. He isn't content with religious discussions. He isn't really interested in our opinions. What he wants us to do is to come in by the narrow gate. And he brings us to face that decision. Have you faced it? Have you come in through the narrow gate? Have you come in as a sinner to Jesus? No one else can carry you through that gate. This is very important. This is why that gate is more like a turnstile. You know, parents and children go through that gate one at a time. Your parents can't carry you through that gate. You must go through it yourself. You must receive Jesus as your own Savior. A husband and wife must go through that gate, one by one. One can't carry the other one through. We must go through one at a time. So this most important question we ever face is, have I gone through that gate? Have I come to Jesus? Have I come to Jesus? The gate is narrow because it requires us to come one by one to Jesus. And there's only one gate. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved. Third thing I want to say about it. When it says the gate is small, the gate is narrow. The NIV maybe says it's small. It seems to me that it's not only is it narrow in this sense, but it's not small that way. Almost, you could say, so low that you have to go on your knees. Humbly. When Jesus said in Mark 1:15, he says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent, you see, means to admit you're wrong. It's a do an about turn, like us going down that ridge and realizing, hey, we're about to go down the wrong side. We need to turn around and go back that way and go down the other side. We were totally in the wrong direction. Repentance means realizing we're going the wrong way and turning around, doing a U-turn, confessing our sin, realizing and acknowledging that we are sinners and rebels. So we come humbly through the gate. No room to carry our own self-righteousness. To come to that gate thinking, well, I'm a jolly good fellow, really. I'm okay here. I've got a lot to commend me. We won't get through. We'll find that we're carrying our own baggage of self-righteousness and we won't get through. The gate is narrow. We come humbly through that gate. No room for pride in our good life. No room for church attendance even. For pride in church attendance. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for grace. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Nothing in my hand I bring. Nothing in my hand I bring. We come empty-handed, and our Savior gives us everything we need. One gift, one at a time. And then thirdly, we come as sinners. So it's a small gift. But afterwards, we're told that the way is hard that leads to life. The NIV says it's narrow. It's narrow. It's hard. How is it narrow? How is it hard? Well, it's the path of following the Master, isn't it? When we come to Jesus, we become his followers. We become his servants. We're born again. We're made new creatures in Christ. We begin a new life with his Spirit in our hearts. We begin to walk the narrow way and we're under new orders. Under a new master. Under the walking the way with Jesus. And the narrow way is a life of obedience to our Savior. a life of taking up the cross daily and following Christ. A life of putting the old sinful nature to death and putting on the new nature. A wonderful life. But Jesus says it's a hard life. The way is hard. Such a change will show in our lifestyles, in our honesty, in our speech, in the way we use money, in the way we use our time. It's going to show up. In John Bunyan's book, The Pilgrim's Progress, those of you who know it will remember that the pilgrims, Christian and Faithful, were on their way to the celestial city. And they came to Vanity Fair. And in Vanity Fair was all sorts of wickedness and wicked pleasures and amusements. And they were walking through it, keeping their eyes fixed on the narrow way which ran straight through Vanity Fair. And the people there mocked them because they saw, why are these people not interested in what we're doing? Why are they following along with us in our pursuit of pleasure and amusement here in Vanity Fair? And so they mocked them and eventually arrested them, and in Pilgrim's Progress, Faithful was killed in Vanity Fair. Sometimes I wonder if as Christians we're not different enough. We want to blend in just too much. The Christian life is a narrow way, and most people are not following that way, so we will be different. A small gate, a narrow way, and sometimes people will be offended just by the fact that the Christian, we are different. So we've got a narrow gate, Jesus, we've got a narrow gate, because we need to enter one at a time, come to Jesus one at a time personally. A narrow gate, we enter humbly, and a narrow way, walking with Jesus and His way. And a warm invitation to enter. A warm invitation to enter. Here in our verse, Jesus says, enter. Enter by the narrow gate. Enter by it. Come in. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are labouring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come. His invitation, the invitation of Jesus to follow him. We come to that door, to that gate. And what will happen? Well, if you look back at verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. We come to that gate and we knock and it will be opened to us. And let him write a road, if I ask him to receive me, will he say me nay? Not till earth and not till heaven pass away. He will welcome us. The door will open and we will pass through. The gate is narrow. It's too narrow for a man who carries his self-righteousness or is proud, thinks highly of himself. But you know, it's wide enough for the greatest sinner in the world. Come. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. Come, ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If ye tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. View him prostrate in the garden. On the ground your Maker lies. On the bloody tree behold him. Sinner, will not this suffice? Lo, the incarnate God ascended, pleads the merits of his blood. Venture on him, venture wholly, let no other trust in truth. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The invitation to come, to know the forgiveness of sins, to know the joy and the peace and the safety of following Him, to know that His way is perfect and it is a way of rest for our souls. To have that assurance when Jesus says, all whom the Father gives me will come to me, and no one can pluck me, pluck them out of my hands. No one can pluck them out of my hands. The narrow way, a wide welcome to a narrow gate, right? A wide welcome to a narrow gate. What's the alternative? Well, Jesus tells us that there's a broad way. The gate is wide and the way is easy, and that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. The gate is wide and the way is easy. It doesn't take any effort to go through the broad gate. The crowd is going that way. If we hold with the crowd, we will go through that gate. Nothing more certain. We do nothing, we go through that gate, we'll be swept along with the crowd. You may go in through this gate with all your sins about you. No need to repent. No requirement to restrain your sin or your passions. You may do as you want. It's a broad way. Nothing to hedge you in. You can wander endlessly on this broad way. There are many paths on it, many ways to destruction. All about that broad way. And you have plenty of company on that way. Many go through this gate. But if we go with that crowd, it will be the wrong way. It will be the wrong way. It leads to destruction, to be lost forever, to find yourself in hell because you wanted the company or you wanted what seemed to be a good time. What a foolish bargain that is. What a fatal bargain. To hold on to things that you cannot keep and say no to something that you cannot lose. A foolish bargain. And if the Christian life seems difficult now, 1 hour in heaven will make us forget all the difficulties. Enter then. Enter, Jesus says. Make every effort to enter through the narrow gate. Seek the way of salvation. Follow the way that Jesus has made for us. There's no third way. You're either on one or you're on the other. No third way. Which way are you on tonight, eh? Remember, there's only one gate and one way, Jesus Himself. It's narrow in that we must enter one at a time. It's narrow in that we cannot take pride and our self-righteousness in with us. It's narrow in that our eternal destiny depends on passing through that gate. But we have a warm invitation, a pleading from God. Enter, enter. Come. And the alternative leads to destruction. Who in their right mind would choose such a way? But you know, if you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, you are choosing that way tonight. You're drifting down with the crowd through the way that leads to destruction. But for those of us who know Him, we rejoice in knowing Jesus as our Savior. We rejoice that He is the way, our way, the way of salvation. He is the truth and He is the life. He has received us. He has made us His children. And today He walks with us. He walks with me and He talks with me along the narrow way. May God bless His word to all our hearts tonight and make it live in us. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Thank you for the door that is open that all may go in. And at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. Father, we thank you for the wonderful invitation to know you, to know salvation. Lord, fill our hearts, those of us who know you, again tonight with the joy of what you've done for us. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight who doesn't know you, speak to them, we pray. And may the good seed find good soil in their hearts to grow, that they might come to you. Thank you, Father, for this time around your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.